So, first of all, thank you for asking me to speak about Eretz Yisrael. I love speaking about Eretz Yisrael. There are Mar Makomos here for anyone who would like for further study, although we're not going to read too much inside. The topic for today is the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which is really a halachic topic not 100% identified with what we would call modern Zionism. Modern Zionism is a very important topic in its own right, but that is not the particular topic of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, there are many people that believe that they're being mekayim in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and are, in fact, being mekayim in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, even though they would not associate themselves as Zionists. I always make the joke that in my family, I have a brother and three sisters, and all of us are very strong Zionists, except for my sister, the only one who actually lives in Israel. She's the only one that actually lives in Eretz Yisrael. She's a Haredi, and that's what she believes, and would not align with modern Zionism. But she actually lives in Eretz Yisrael, and she's actually fulfilling the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. And I think that's an important idea in terms of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of allowing this geula to take place slowly and methodically. I was at the dentist last week, and it turned out he wanted to do a procedure he couldn't do. The whole thing was a waste of time for me to schlep into Brooklyn to go. But it wasn't a waste of time, because he told me the following part. It's pretty good when you go to a dentist and you get a better. My dentist made Aliyah this year, and he comes back to work. So he's a good friend of mine, and he told me that he was the Rav in his community was talking on Yom Ha'atzmaut, Evan Ma'asu Habonim Haysal Rosh Pina. So he said that the Rav's community was pointing out that there are two building blocks upon which the Geula is going to be built. There are two building blocks upon which the entire idea of coming back, of Kibbutz Golios, and of everything happening, of Mashiach coming and the Beis HaMikdash being ready and all the infrastructure being placed there, there are two core building blocks. And the two core building blocks are, of course, setting up the Medina, making sure that there are homes and farms and hotels and highways and everything that's needed, because as we've pointed out in the past, we do have a tradition that the Beis HaMikdash, according to some Midrashim, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down Minas Shamayim and just like land on our Bais. We do not have any such similar tradition that apartment buildings and highways are going to come down Minas Shamayim. We're going to have to build those. So that's one core element, is the infrastructure that needs to be built. And the other core element is obviously, as religious Jews, Torah observance, yeshivos, Talmud Torah. What's so fascinating, my dentist pointed out, in the name of his rabbi, whose name I do not know, is that both groups, both the group that was primarily involved in building up the infrastructure, building up the Medina, and the group that was primarily involved in building up the Torah, were mo'es in the other, thought that the other one was worthless. Meaning the group that builds up the so much of the Torah, all the learning and the Haredi yeshivas and the thousands and thousands of people, they're not interested in the Medina. They're not interested in talking about the Medina. The people who are building up the Medina weren't interested in the Torah. They don't care about the Torah. Evan ma'asu habonim, that which the bonim, those who were building it up, were mo'es in, Haisa L'Rosh Pina. That's going to be the cornerstone. That's going to be the foundation of everything that needs to be built in order for Geula to happen. So ultimately, you know, we sort of find ourselves, and I'm speaking for myself, I don't know what your Ashkafos are, sort of find ourselves in the middle where we value both elements so much, and we sort of have the idea and the hope that ultimately we'll all come toward that recognition of the value of both sides of this. But again, today we're supposed to be talking about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in particular. And this is a mitzvah that, according to some Rishonim, as we'll soon see, is explicit in the Torah, that one has an obligation to go and live in Eretz Yisrael. And it's not just a mitzvah among 613 mitzvahs, which it may or may not be, as we'll soon see, but it is something that seems more foundational than a mitzvah among 613 mitzvahs, because There are so many other mitzvot that can only be done once one is in Eretz Yisrael. And in general, when any nation talks about a land, their nationhood is usually defined by that land. We, thank God, have the Torah, and our nationhood is defined by the Torah. But a land for a nation is more than just a mitzvah. It's more than just, not to minimize mitzvahs, but it's more than just another mitzvah on the list of 613 mitzvahs. In fact, you know, the Rav Shechter used to always tell us that people asked Rav Kook why it is that he's always obsessing over Eretz Yisrael. It's always Eretz Yisrael this, Eretz Yisrael that. Why does he think that it's so, that he's always talking about Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Shechter Rav Kook used to respond that if you open up a Chumash to Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram Avinu is commanded to go to Eretz Yisrael, and then read every single parsha from Parshas Lech Lecha, pretty much to the end of the Chumash. There's something about Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Kook says, you know, I just try to develop my personality to reflect Torah values, and Torah values are what it actually says in the Torah. So it says in the Torah, Eretz Yisrael, 1,000 times. So that's why it's become such a dominant part of my personality, because it's such a dominant part of the Torah itself. So where does the Torah tell us that there's such a mitzvah? The Ramban points out in the Pasuk, Bamidbar Perek Lam Gimel, Pasuk Lam Gimel, you have in your sheets, V'arashtem es ha'aretz, V'yashavtem ba, ki lechem nasati es ha'aretz, L'reshes osa. That Hashem tells us that we should go in and we should take the land. We should dwell in the land. And the Ramban says, that's it. Al da'ati zu mitzvah sasehi. This is an absolute mitzvah sasehi. And one who fails to take Eretz Yisrael is as if he's being moes in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him. He's ma'asu abonim. He's saying, I'm not interested in the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me. And the Ramban says, you know, if a person were to think, well, we don't need Eretz, we just need a Jewish state. We need a place where Jews can be safe. We'll go to Uganda, and we'll establish a state there, and it will be a Jewish place where it's only for Jews. Says the Ramban, such a statement, if a person were to try to be Kovesh, Eretz Shinar, Eretz Asher, Vizulashzan, Ulis Yashiv Sham, and to dwell there in these other places, Ya'avru al Mitzvah Hashem. That's a violation of a Mitzvah Hashem. No one could ask on the Ramban, L'chora, by me not living in Eretz Yisrael, I'm already Ya'avru al Mitzvah Hashem. No, I'm already violating Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, well, so we'll get there, right? So, but perhaps, maybe, what one could suggest is that it seems, you know, the mitzvahs in general come in multiple forms. There are certain mitzvahs that are Chovas HaYachid, and certain mitzvahs that are Chovas HaTzibur. Certain mitzvahs, and certain mitzvahs that are both. Some mitzvahs are my personal responsibility. It's not about the tzibur doing it. I take lulav, it's a chavas hayachid. I put on tefillin, it's a chavas hayachid. There's no extra kiyum of tefillin. It's tefillin mitoch hatzibur or betoch hatzibur. There's no such din. Matzah betoch hatzibur. There's no such din. It's every individual has their own chiyuv of matzah. Then there are certain things that are a chavas hatzibur that the tzibur has an obligation to do. A binyan amigdash, that we have to build a base amigdash. It's not each and every individual. Kriyas HaTorah is a discussion in the Achronim, whether it's purely a Chavos. Rav Salvechik was machmir that it's a Chavos HaYachid. Meaning if he would miss Kriyas HaTorah in the morning and he would get to New York flying from Boston, even though everyone else in the Tzibur already heard Kriyas HaTorah, he'd ask them to take out the Torah again at Mincha and lane for him because he felt that his Chavos HaYachid wasn't fulfilled, even though the Tzibur may have fulfilled their Chiyuv. Then there are mitzvahs that seem to be both. That seem to have both an element of Chavos HaYachid and an element of Chavos HaTzibur. For example, the mitzvah of tzedakah. The mitzvah of tzedakah, certainly a chavos yachid. Each and every individual has to give tzedakah. Yet at the same time, the Gemara tells us, and the Rambam writes, that every city has to set up a tamchoi shel tzedakah. Every city has to set up an infrastructure wherein people can find tzedakah funds if they need it. So that's a chiyuv on the community to set up such a thing, a mitzvah of tzedakah. We have by nichum avelim. Each of us have a mitzvah to go be menachim navel when someone is sitting shiva. Yet you ever go to a levaya and right after the kavura, what do? Everyone lines up a shura. Sometimes men on one side, women on the other. If it's a more chassidish levaya, the women not at all, only the men. Whatever it is, but they line up and people walk through the avelim, walk through the shura, and everyone says together, "Amakam menachim." Why? Everyone was at the levaya. Mustam is going to pay a shiva call also. Why do they need to? No, and they only do that if there's a minyan. They won't do that if less than a minyan. Why not? Because it's a chavas tzibur. There's a chavas tzibur. Being melamed Torah. Every parent has an obligation to be melamed Torah to his child. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Clearly, an individual's mitzvah to teach Torah to your son, not to child, but to son, to your boys. So yet. The Rambam writes, and it's clear based on the second paragraph, Gemara in the second paragraph of Basra, that the midrabbanan, they made a chavas hatzibur, that every community, b'chol pelech, b'chol chalir, v'ir, they have to set up melamdei tinokos, even if you don't have a kid. You have to make sure that there is a yeshiva. So it could be that Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael is the more obvious than all those cases, that Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael is both a chavas hayachid and a chavas hatzibur. That, you know, when the Gemaras talk about the mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, la'olam yadur adam b'Eretz Yisrael afilu bi'ir, that's rov of the kochavim, and not in chutz la'aretz, even near, that's rov Yisrael. You have a choice of living in a less Jewish community in Israel, or a more Jewish community in chutz la'aretz. Go to Eretz Yisrael! You should. That's an individual. But there's also, obviously, what the Ramban is talking about over here is the chavas hatzibur, that Klal Yisrael has to go in and take over the land. That's why the Ramban writes that the mitzvah is not just to live in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah is to take over every last inch of Eretz Yisrael. To the extent that we don't use and that we don't take control of every last inch of Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos and the Sasagas to the Sefer HaMitzvos, one is being mevatel the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz. Why? If I'm living happily, I have my apartment in Rechavia, and I'm very happy, it's a nice cushy place, and I'm enjoying myself, so okay, there's some shtachim somewhere that we'll lose. What's it? I'm not being yotzei my mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz. Well, not my chavas hayachid, maybe. But the chavas hatzibur of making sure that we have every last inch of Eretz Yisrael, that I'm not being yotzei. There is significant discussion about the Shitas HaRambam in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos, not only counted all 613 mitzvahs, he gave rules as to what counts as a mitzvah and what doesn't, which was not done by the earlier people who wrote Sifrei HaMitzvos, the Bahag and Rav Sadigo, and they just gave lists. You know, so the Bahag counts certain mitzvahs to Rabbanan. So it opens yourself up to criticism, because how do you know there are 613 mitzvahs? Anyone could just come up with the number 613 and just stop when you get to 613. But if you have to follow rules, what counts as a mitzvah, what doesn't count as a mitzvah, and you still come out with 613, then you know that number means something, right? Meaning the Rambam says there are rules over here. Yes, shrashim of how to identify what's a mitzvah, what's not. But stunningly, astonishingly, the Rambam does not mention the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in the Minyan HaMitzvos. So the Ramban has a whole list of 17 mitzvos, I think it is, Sheshachach HaRambam, that the Rambam forgot to count.
So which thing did he take out?
So he first of all, it's not so pasha. The Ramban's first hasaga on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos is, who says there are 613? It doesn't necessarily have to be that there are 613. Yeah, it's true. There's a Gemara at the end of Makos that tells us that Taryag mitzvos, that there are 613 mitzvos. But, says the Ramban, I will show you dozens of midrashim that will say there are thousands of mitzvos, there are other numbers of mitzvos. So why does this Gemara Makos have all the mazel that everyone has to, well, because Uncle Moshe made a song, so now it has to be that it's like Lechol Moshe Misinai, that there are 613 mitzvos. Lav Dafka. In fact, when the Ramban is done chopping up the Sefer HaMitzvos, he comes out with a different number. It's not exact. I think he ends up with like 620. Again, because the Rashi is based on the Gemara, but there are other Midrashi Chazal as well. So anyway, so the Rambam doesn't count it. And the Ramban, in his Hasagos, says that it's a big mistake. The Rambam should have counted Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and that's in source number four. We're not going to go through the whole thing now. The Ramban says it's not just a pasuk. There are dozens of pasukim that all talk about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, why didn't the Rambam count the mitzvah? So one explanation that gained popularity in certain Hasidic parts of the world is the explanation of the Megillas Esther. The Megillas Esther was a commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. It was not written by a woman named Esther, as Shachter often points out. It was written by a man whose mother's name was Esther. So since he was going, I think it was his mother. So since when he was going to print, his mother had passed away at that time, I could be wrong, but I think it was his mother, since she passed away at the time that he was going to print. So he called the sefer after his mother. He called him Megillas Esther. A very lovely gesture. Okay, Yitzchak de Leon, yes. So in Megillas Esther, he suggests the reason the Rambam leaves out this mitzvah is because in Shoresh Gimel, remember we said the Rambam had rules. So the third rule that the Rambam had of what counts as a mitzvah and what doesn't is any mitzvah that's not knowing Ledoros doesn't count as a mitzvah. And he suggests that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not knowing Ledoros, it's not done for all generations. Why not? Because it only applies when you have a Beis HaMikdash. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, then there's no mitzvah Yishuv Eretz
Yisrael. The Hizrach of the Rambam, there is Rambam the Hizrach, there is a Beis HaMikdash.
Right now?
I think he's saying Kedusha.
Mm-hmm. There's Kedusha, no, but an actual Beis HaMikdash, that we don't have an actual Beis HaMikdash. So the problem with it, there are many problems with this. First of all, the Rambam doesn't count those mitzvahs that are not knowing Ledoros, but he does count mitzvahs that take a break, you know, that were knowing and will again be knowing, even if right now they're not knowing. You know, you ever meet someone and they say they're a Baal Tshuva or that they're FFB, they're from birth. So I asked someone once, I said, oh, are you a Baal Tshuva? Because he was talking about, like, you know, his experiences eating at McDonald's or Red Lobster or something. So I'm like, oh, and he looked like pretty religious. So I said, you're a Baal Tshuva? He said, no, I'm FFB BTAB. I'm like, what's that? He said, from birth, but took a break. So the Rambam holds that if you have mitzvos that existed at some point and then were not knowing for some other time and then are going to return, those do get counted as mitzvos, like bringing karbanos and things like that. When we have a mikdash, the mitzvah, we plan on having a third base of mikdash. I remember I was once taking a tour of the old city with my son, who at the time was 12 years old. Before his bar mitzvah, I brought him to Eretz Yisrael with me on a recruiting trip. So we had a few hours to take a tour of the old city. And the tour guide pointed to Har HaBayis and said, said to my son, you know what that place is? And he said, yes, that's the place where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. And the tour guide said, oh, finally, someone who says it right. Everyone always says it's a place where the Beis HaMikdash was. But we have to realize it's also the place where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. We have plans. We have plans of a third Beis HaMikdash. So it's strange that the Rambam would call that not knowing Ledoros. Certainly that's knowing Ledoros. On the other hand, if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam writes in source number 6, Umutru lishkon b'chala olam chutz me eretz Mitzrayim. Person is allowed to live wherever he wants, except for Mitzrayim. So that's the kasha. They're all the Nosei Kelim, jump on right away. Rambam, you're not following your own psak. You lived in Eretz Mitzrayim. They say, even though I think there's some question about the accuracy of this, that he used to sign his letters as Ha'over Mitzvah Saseh, Sholosh Mitzvah Saseh B'chol Yom, something like that, because he lived in Mitzrayim. But forget about that part for now. Maybe when we have a shiur about living in Mitzrayim on Egypt Day or something, we'll talk about that. But what about the other part? That mutter lishkon b'chal ha'olam. Really? Is it mutter to live in the whole world outside of Eretz Mitzrayim? What about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Isn't it a bittul mitzvah to live outside of Eretz Yisrael? So that gives a little bit of credence to the Megillas Esther's point of view that the Rambam didn't count it in Sefer HaMitzvos because it's not a mitzvah. That for some reason he views it not as a mitzvah. In fact, the Ramban in his commentary to the Chumash says, you know, that very pasuk that the Ramban used as a source for the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, he points out that Rashi didn't understand the pasuk that way. Rashi understood that pasuk as saying, if you want your yeshuv to be lasting, you better get rid of all the 31 kings, the seven nations that live there. Otherwise, it's not going to work. It may be temporary, but you're going to ultimately be thrown out of there. So it was advice. It wasn't that this is a mitzvah. It was, if you want this to work, here's what you got to do. 31 kings lived in Eretz Yisrael, which is astonishing if you think about the size of the land. What kind of kingdom is that? You know, here's my vast kingdom of my backyard. What does that mean? What kind of kingdom? Right, it's an Eretz Hatzvi, it's true, and expanding. But the 31 kings did not, their kingdoms were not entirely contained within Eretz Yisrael. It's just that if you were a king who was a somebody, you had to have a place in Eretz Yisrael. It's like, you know, if you're a rich person and you don't have a summer home in the Hamptons, you're not as rich as you think you are, right? So, like, if you're a king that doesn't have a palace in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't have a place in Eretz Yisrael, that was the place to be. All the African kings and all the European kings wanted a portion of Eretz Yisrael.
Is there a carbonate?
I don't know if Shapti used to always say that. I mean, it must be in Chazal. It must be. I mean, it's Pashtos, I would imagine, no? I would think so. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we're referring to
a smaller piece? I don't know. I don't think so.
We say that we will get it.
No, because we have the borders listed in Sefer Yehoshua, so I don't think so.
Even according to Rashi, Rashi understands the pasuk as the Qum is driving out all the goyim.
Right.
So, even if Rashi, wouldn't
that... Not necessarily a mitzvah even, that it's... This is what, if you're going to want to...
That's how he understands the
pasuk. What?
That's how he understands the pasuk of Rashi.
Yeah, that... Yes, but not that it's a mitzvah. It's that Varashim Asaretz V'yashavtim, but if you want to be Yashavtim, but you're going to need to be Varashim Asaretz.
Right, so I'm saying, we can't understand Rashi as saying that the reason why you're doing it is Almanah, you should live in Eretz Yisrael.
Almanah is to live in Eretz Yisrael, but not that's a mitzvah.
It's the number of shoot.
Right. This was the plan, and this is how you're going to implement the plan, but it's the Lav Dafka that it's a mitzvah. The Avnei Nezer takes, so that idea of the Megillas Esther, the Satmar Rebbe and the Munkacher Rebbe, you know, the real anti-Zionists were very into that Megillas Esther, that the Ram doesn't count because Satmar Rebbe even goes to another extreme where he says, not only does the Rambam hold that there's no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, in his Maimer Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, he says, the Ramban would hold there's no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Aye, but the Ramban writes every time he breathes, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael comes out. You know, the Ramban writes everywhere that there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, but that's before it was all kaifrim and whatever. And okay, so he has this whole explanation why even the Ramban. So he's Hifriz Alamida, perhaps, more than perhaps. The Avnei Nezer...
And then there's about painting Kita, there's 1,000% other book. What did they have for making?
Okay, so we'll see if we can get there. The Avnei Nezer writes in Yoredeya, Chelek Be'isimin, Tav Nun Dalid, that even according to the Rambam, there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Why doesn't the Rambam count it? So he says it's very similar to why it is that the Rambam doesn't count the obligation to construct an Aron and a Kapores on top of the Aron, because the whole point of the Aron and the Kaporis was so that you could have Hashras HaShchina, right? The Shechina was lo yard the matame asara, because the Aron Kaporis was the Sara Tzvachim off the ground. And the whole point of the Mikdash was to create a sense of Hashras HaShchina, and that emanates from the Aron and the Kaporis. So the Avnei Nezer says it's not counted independently to build an Aron and a Kaporis, because that's part of the mitzvah of Binyan and Mikdash. So he says the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not counted independently, because it's part of the mitzvah of wiping out the seven nations. It's all part of the same mitzvah. So it's not that it's not a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. It's just part of a bigger mitzvah. Similarly, the Tashbeitz in Chel Gimel, Os Reish Peches, also believes that even the Rambam would say there's a mitzvah. He says, not counted as an independent mitzvah because it's a mitzvah kolelis. It includes so many other mitzvahs. So a mitzvah, it's more like a heading that under it includes Truma and Meiser and all the other mitzvahs and Shemitah and everything else. So you don't have to mention the heading as an independent mitzvah because you have everything that's included. Obviously, you have to live in Eretz Yisrael. How are you going to do the mitzvah Satorah otherwise? So many mitzvah Satorah only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So that's how the Tashbeitz understands. Others... That it's an actual mitzvah, it just doesn't, that part of the rules of counting a mitzvah is that you don't count something that includes lots of other mitzvahs. Others say that it's part of the mitzvah of Dveikus Ba'Hashem, that a person can't fully connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu unless he's in Eretz Yisrael. So that's part of the mitzvah of Dveikus Ba'Hashem. I don't know, I've seen that in Achronim, I don't remember. Yeah, L'daf Kabo, that it's part of the mitzvah of L'daf Kabo. Maybe the Avnei Nezer even mentions it. Avnei Nezer has this long, long tshuva. So I remember, I've seen that around, that's part of the mitzvah of Dveikus Ba'Hashem. Because we can't have a full Dveikus Ba'Hashem in, to the maximum capacity that our neshama allows for in chutzlars, because we can't do all the mitzvos. And we believe that the way we're mistabik b'shechina is by connecting to all of the mitzvos. So the more that we connect to the mitzvos, not to say, you know, chas v'shalom, that all the gedolim who didn't live in Eretz Yisrael were not mistabik b'kadosh baruch hu, but I'm sure they would all admit that had they had the opportunity to do everything that they did in Eretz Yisrael, they would have had a greater sense of Dveikus Ba'Hashem.
What about Mavachu coming from Kippur Vavel?
Yeah? What about it? Right, because Bati Knesios and Bati Midrashos, the Gemara says, yeah?
If it's in the Bible, but I see somewhere else that like the Sikkim is agreed that all the mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael, in America, in Chutzaretz are only like
Hechsher mitzvah, yeah, it's all preparation to get back to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, that's the Ramban. The Ramban was so strong about that. Regardless, mitzvah, not a mitzvah, it's clear from Chazal that it's super important. You know, the Gemara's at the end of Ksubas talk about, you know, how it's Kaparas Avonos, walking Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael. If you read through the Rambam in the fifth paragraph of Hilchos Malachim, Halacha Yud through Yud Beis, it's just unbelievable. Even in Hilchos Shabbos, you know, the Gemara in Gittin talks about you're allowed to buy land from a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael and have him write the contract on Shabbos, because the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael overrides the Yisur of Amir La'akum, and Tosfos over there says, but not for any other mitzvah, just for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You could do the Amir La'akum of Eretz Yisrael. So the importance of the mitzvah cannot be overstated. You know, it's, the Avnei Nezer explains, Gemara in Tainis, Dav Yud says that in Eretz Yisrael, you know, we're under the direct hashkach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avnei Nezer explains, everywhere else it comes through some sort of medium of malachim or whatever, but the direct hashkach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only in Eretz Yisrael. So whether it's a technical mitzvah, not a technical mitzvah, it's everyone agrees that, and you'd have to deny half of the Torah to disagree. Everyone agrees that there is something special about living there, that it's an elevated existence. It's a place of elevated kedusha. The question is, you know, do we have an obligation to live there? But then the other half of it is, okay, as individuals, maybe yeah, maybe no. We have this whole discussion, but as a tzibur, is it proper for us to establish a medina in Eretz Yisrael? So that became a much more controversial issue, based on the Gemara Maseches Ksubas Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, the famous Gemara of the Gimel Shavuos, the three oaths that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with mankind. That first, we're not allowed to take Eretz Yisrael by force. Second, the Jewish people swear not to rebel against the nations of the world. And finally, the nations of the world swear not to oppress the Jewish people more than necessary. So the Satmar Rebbe has a whole Maimer Gimel Shavuos where he shows that this, where he suggests that based on this, it's forbidden for us to try to take over Eretz Yisrael before the Zman of Mashiach. So there have been books written to try to explain why that doesn't apply. But Lechara, you don't need books. Sometimes when you have too many answers, it's, you know, it cheapens it, because it makes it sound like you need all these answers because some of them are weak. It's obvious. It's not gadat gemara. You don't need to. It's not. There's no iser. It's not codified in any halacha that we're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. So not gadat gemara that there's some gadic idea of some shavua. So kasha is not a kasha to begin with. It's so difficult to understand. You know, the Satmar Rebbe has this style in his sefer where he says, "I'll bring you 183. I think that's 183 proofs that there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh. So even if you don't like one of my proofs, you have to like the other 182. And you could be through all of them. You don't have to like any of them. None of them are so compelling. So sometimes you give so many answers, it really cheapens the other answers. I don't think you need a million answers, but just to list a couple of the answers, and I guess we'll just to make mention, the Avnei Nezer points out in his Shuvah, we never find that the Jewish people ever accepted this Shavua. The Maharal writes that the oaths were meant as a punishment, not a chiyuv. So if you could make a punishment end, let's say a person gets ill, Rachman al-Islan. So we also believe there's schar va'onash, Kodesh Baruch is punishing us for something when we get sick. So don't go to a doctor because you don't want to, don't take your medicine, because let the punishment carry itself out, let the punishment happen. That's crazy. Rav Zevin understood that the Shalosh Shavuos is an agreement between the Jewish people and the nations of the world, and they didn't keep their part of the Shavuot. They were certainly were overdid it in terms of their persecution of the Jewish people. Where does Rav Zevin write that? In it was originally printed in a Torah Shebal Peh journal in Tavshin Lamed Aleph or something like that. But the Sameach writes also that the establishment of the state doesn't constitute any violation of the oath because we didn't take it by force. The Balfour Declaration was signed where the nations of the world came together and said, let's give it to them. And even if one wants to argue that we did something wrong by establishing Medina, which is hard to imagine, but even if one wants to argue that, Rav Schechter points out that in the name of the stipler, that doesn't mean that we have to give it back. Right? I mean, okay, so now we have it. So they did an Avera, okay? Klap al-Khayt. But it doesn't mean that we have to give it back. We still have to do what's best for the Jewish people nowadays. Now, is there any heter not to live in Eretz Yisrael? And with this, we'll close. The Rishonim talk about, if you look at the Tosfos Maseches Ksubos Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, the Rishonim talk about that if it's too much of a hardship, if it's impossible to make it there. You know, then there's a heter not to live in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Schechter always says that Rav Salvechik used to say that anyone who's in Chinuch and Klei Kodesh here, the captain of the ship cannot abandon the ship. He cannot abandon the other people who need saving. So I think, you know, sometimes that could be a little bit of a self-important attitude. You know, a person has to really be honest. Like, how necessary am I really here? You know, is it, I know, like, for example, maybe the state of Chinuch, when Soloveitchik said this, was not what it is today. I know when I decided to take the job at Lander College and to leave DRS on a full-time basis, that the next day there were 70 resumes, you know, for a job at DRS. So, like, I mean, I'm so important. No one will be able, there are 70 people that will probably do a better job than me. You know, like, it's not like it's so important that you can't. So it's hard. It's very hard for a person to really convince themselves of that. You really, Rav Schechter said that when he met Rav Ram Shapiro for the first time, Ram Shapiro told him, you should come to Eretz Yisrael, I'll set you up the kol, I'll give you whatever it is that you want. I'll give you whatever, anything that you need. And he said, you know, I'm not sure, I'm doing a lot in Chutzar. So he said, tell me what you're doing. Give me, you know, how many shirim are you giving? Who are you, you know, what are all your positions? What are you? And he started telling him all the things he was doing. He said, you're not allowed to come. You're never going to have as much hashpah here as you are there. So he told him he's not allowed to come. Okay, but it has to be legitimate that a person is really needed. Rav Moshe holds that the whole mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah chiyuvis, but a mitzvah kiyumis. That one fulfills the mitzvah when they live in Eretz Yisrael, but it is not an absolute obligation. The very idea that such a notion exists of a mitzvah kiyumis is a chiddush, but we do have it in a few places. That could be the Graz Shita on mitzvahs matzah kol shiva. To eat matzah the rest of the days of Pesach after the first night is a kiyuma mitzvah, even if it's not a chiyuv. So there may be certain mitzvahs like this. It's a chiddush to apply that to Eretz Yisrael. Trumas Hadashin writes that if it's going to affect one's Yir Shamayim, because the communities in Eretz Yisrael are not religious, and you're not going to be able to be a pious Jew, so that would be a good enough reason not to go. But now, what? It seems like it's against the Gemara. If you would be Ir Sharuba, maybe that the Ir Sharuba is only if it's not going to affect you. But if you're going to personally affect you, maybe it doesn't sound that way because I think we do Paskin that way. But if it's Ram Paskin's that. But even if it does, maybe that's if it's not going to affect you. At the end of the day, it's something we need to think about. We need to think about Eretz Yisrael not only in messianic terms, some can or can't, whatever your hashkafa is, whether to view in messianic terms, but every Jew needs to think about it. In mitzvah terms, do I have an obligation to be there? Do I have a heter not to be there? And, you know, not all mitzvahs are easy, but I'll put it this way. This dentist of mine who made Aliyah told me that I've repeated this to a number of people who have been considering Aliyah, that it may not be, it's probably not, your life is probably not going to be easier when you make Aliyah. Now, at your stage in life, it might actually, but your life, for someone who's already established you, is not going to be easier. Your children's lives? Probably will be. Your grandchildren's lives? Definitely will be. How much longer do you think this Golus can last? I mean, every Golus has ended exactly the same way. So, like, it's your grandchildren will thank you for it. You know the way we look back at, you know, we should never al tiftach peh, we should never talk about such things, but the way we look back at people who were smart enough to get out of Europe in the 30s, you know, and their grandchildren thank them for that they were able to survive. You know, it's something that it's clear where the future of the Jewish people is, And, it's something we should constantly be thinking about, of how to make sure that we participate and we become a part of that Jewish future.